You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome from the Encouragers, Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael. We are on the air every Saturday at 3 p.m., bringing words of encouragement from the Holy Bible for everyday life. Please continue to listen in and be blessed. Our Father, who art in heaven, full of grace and mercy, the only true and living God who loves us so dearly, please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word from the Holy Bible. May what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. My topic for today is, do not give up on God. My scripture is John 10, 7 through 11. My text is John 10, 10, which states, the thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it here, have it more abundantly. Young people today sometimes find themselves in situations where they feel trapped or boxed in and can see no way out. They can get hooked on drugs, they run with the wrong crowd, and they have no one to turn to when they have relationship and financial problems. They feel hopeless, depressed, disconnected from God, alone, and overwhelmed with guilt. Sometimes committing suicide seems to be the only way out. The Florida Health Department reports that suicide is among the top 10 leading causes of death in the United States, resulting in about one death every 11 minutes. Since 2015, the Florida suicide rate has remained higher than the national average, except in 2017. 3,113 individuals died by suicide in 2020. As Christians in our daily walk, we must always be ready to share the good news of having hope in Jesus Christ, because he came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. We can share these quotes and scriptures with them. One, God who led you to this will surely help you through this. Number two, nothing has ever caught God by surprise. Number three, it is during our darkest moments that we must focus to see the light. Number four, Psalms 27:1 states, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Number five, Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We should help if we can direct them to someone or someplace that can help them with their specific need. 988 is the suicide and crisis lifeline. God also works through others, such as doctors, pharmacists, nurses, counselors, teachers, and family. In the parable found in the 10th chapter of John, we have, number one, the evidence of a thief and robber that comes to do mischief to the flock and damage to the owner. He enters not by the door, as having no lawful cause of entry, but climbs up some other way, at a window, or some breach in the wall. How industrious are wicked people to do mischief? What plots will they lay? What pains will they take? What hazards will they run in their wicked pursuits? This should shame us out of our slothfulness and cowardice in the service of God. The character that distinguishes the rightful owner, who has a property in the sheep and a care for them, he enters in by the door as one having authority and he comes to do them some good duty or other, to bind up what is broken and strengthen that which is sick. Sheep needs man's care, and in return for it are serviceable to man. They clothe and feed those by whom they are housed and fed. The care he takes and the provision he makes for his sheep. The sheep hear his voice when he speaks familiarly to them, when they come into the fold. And which is more, he calls his own sheep by name. So exact is the notice he takes of them, the account he keeps of them. And he leads them out from the fold to the green pastures, and whom he turns them out to graze. He does not drive them, but he goes before them to prevent any mischief or danger that might meet them. And they, being used to it, follow him and are safe. The strange attendance of the sheep upon the shepherd. They know his voice, so as to discern his mind by it, and to distinguish it from that of a stranger. And a stranger will they not follow, but as suspecting some ill design, will flee from him, not knowing his voice, but that it is not the voice of their own shepherd. This is the parable. We have the key to it. You, my flock, are men, and I am your God. Let us observe from this parable that good men are fitly compared to sheep. Men are creatures, as creatures depending on their creator, are called the sheep of his pasture. Good men, as new creatures, have the good qualities of sheep, harmless and inoffensive as sheep, meek and quiet, without noise, patient as sheep under the hand both of the shearer and of the butcher, useful and profitable, tame and easily led, to the shepherd and sociable one with another, and much used in sacrifices. The church of God in the world is a sheepfold, into which the children of God that were scattered abroad are gathered together, and in which they are united and incorporated. It is a good fold. The fold is well fortified, for God himself is as a wall of fire about it. This shepherd lies much exposed to thieves. This sheepfold lies much exposed to thieves and robbers, crafty seducers that make disloyal and deceive, and cruel persecutors that destroy and devour, grievous wolves, thieves that will steal Christ's sheep from him, to sacrifice them to devils, or steal their food from them, that they might perish for lack of it. Wolves in sheep's clothing. The great shepherd of the sheep takes wonderful care of the flock and of all that belong to it. God is the great shepherd. He knows those that are his, calls them by name. Those that are his, calls them by name, marks them for himself, leads them out to fat pastures, makes them both feed and rest there, speaks comfortably to them, guards them by his providence, guides them by his spirit and word, and goes before them to set them in the way of his steps. The under shepherds, who are entrusted to feed the flock of God, ought to be careful and faithful in the discharge of that trust. A principal official must defend them and protect and advance all their worldly pursuits and interests. Ministers must serve them in their spiritual interests, must feed their souls with the word of God faithfully, open and applied, and with gospel ordinances duly administered, taking the oversight of them. They must enter by the door of a regular ordination. The Spirit of Christ will set before them an open door, give them authority in the church and assurance in their own bosoms. Jesus' promise of abundant life. which begins already in the here and now, brings to mind Old Testament prophecies about abundant blessing. Jesus calls his followers not to a stern, lifeless, miserable existence that squashes human potential, but a rich, full, joyful life, one overflowing with meaningful activities under the personal favor and blessing of God, and in continual fellowship with his people. Therefore, let us not give up on God, for he truly cares for us. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. Now, a breath of fresh air with Minister David Michael.
Good afternoon and welcome to A Breath of Fresh Air with the Encourager. Today's topic is God Loves You. When my son was a teenager, God used him to save a young boy from drowning while whitewater rafting along the Nantahala River. When asked by a reporter how he was able to save the young boy, my son replied, "It was the hand of God." That's the good news of God's love. It reaches out to save us when we are drowning, not from water, but from our sin. From Genesis to Revelation, the story of humanity's lowest depth and God's highest height can be expressed in the 25 beautiful words of John 3:16, which declares, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." This great verse portrays God's nature as a God who loves deeply, and it shows God's rescue plan for mankind through the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. Let's take a closer look at this great verse. God, the greatest lover, so loved the greatest degree, the world, the greatest company, that he gave the greatest act, his only begotten Son, the greatest gift, that whosoever, the greatest opportunity, believeth, the greatest simplicity, in him, the greatest attraction, should not perish, the greatest promise, but the greatest difference, have the greatest certainty, everlasting life, the greatest possession. God loves you more in 1 second than anyone could love you in a lifetime. But are your feelings or circumstances blocking you from accepting God's love? It doesn't matter if you are young or old, rich or poor, educated or illiterate, tall or short, big or small, single or married, straight or gay, sophisticated or ordinary, black or white, or anyone in between, God still loves you. Remember, we have all violated God's divine law and fall short of his glory. Yet, be encouraged, because God loves you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who died, was buried, and arose so that you may have everlasting life. So put God first, trust and obey his word, and know that God is love and God loves you.
You have been listening to Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael, the Encouragers, bringing you words of encouragement from the Holy Bible. We hope that we have said something that was encouraging to you as you continue on your life's journey. Thank you for listening.
Hello, this is Luke Lewis.
I'm Tiffany Young, and we're with Treasure Coast Realty Group. Join us every